Conclusion. Make room for mental well-being. The time when a client says to me, "Now what? Where do I go from here?" is also the time when I send them off and end therapy. First, because I have confidence that they can move on from there. And second, because I think it is more helpful for them when I push them a little bit to use their brains and their creativity rather than having it all served to them. I have to show confidence in the client and say, "Now you're ready to go out into the world with the background you have and with the tools you've gotten from here." It is absolutely essential that the clients do not develop a dependency relationship to their therapists. It must never become a mother-child relationship, because you do not learn anything if you do not go out into the world and form your own experiences. Our relationship must not be too close, otherwise I cannot help them optimally. A surgeon does not operate on his own child or family either, because it is harder to make the necessary decisions when the relationship is too personal. I think we need to begin thinking differently about the psychologist-client relationship and look at what the actual goal is with therapy. Because if the goal is to alleviate the client's psychological pain as quickly as possible, I'm not sure that a close relationship is the way forward. It is true what one of my clients once said to me after a successful session, telling me about a previous therapy session. "You know, that's when I went to a real psychologist." And it's true that I believe that there should be a certain distance and respect between a client and therapist. It is an asymmetrical relationship, and it is important to keep this in mind. We are not our client's friends, just as my doctor is not my best friend. But empathy should still be paramount, because the therapist must be loyal to the client and not to the theory. The world is always bigger than the theory that the psychologist applies. It is the human being who is at the center. Just as soon as the excessive inward focus is minimized and the symptoms are reduced, the existential conversation about creating life values can begin. And this is where the metacognitive approach stops, and other relevant interventions can take over. The inspiration to create a network or to take new steps in life can just as well come from a partner, friends, philosophy, or literature. Even though we live in a society where tolerance has good conditions, there is still very little space to be different and to stick out from the crowd. There are some clear expectations about what we should be able to do and how we should behave. But we each have parts within ourselves that are individual and different, which cannot be put into an evaluation scheme. This is the point when conflict and dissatisfaction can arise if we are not allowed to develop in an optimal direction. In the Nordic countries, we have what I call the Scandinavian depression, with many months of darkness, cold, a sea of written and unwritten rules, and far too little real space to be different. If we are to socialize, it takes place indoors and has to be formalized, because otherwise we do not meet one another beyond the communities that we already are part of, for example at work or at school. The many unwritten rules tell us to eat at fixed times and preferably organic products, and we must remember to go to the theater and sign up for a swimming class, or at the very least, run 2 times a week. We must talk with the other parents about the lunch program at the daycare and wear the proper winter clothes. Perhaps being more open to other people and what is different will mean that we will not spend so much time on mulling over where we fit in and whether we fit in. I wish that our psychological well-being was given just as much space as our physical well-being, from both the surrounding society as well as from ourselves, because both are equally important. We need to make sure to get help from a therapist if we are mentally unwell, just like we need to go to the doctor if we break a leg or our shoulder goes out of joint. We should be prepared to take time off work to see a psychologist, and not only when we have to go to the doctor or the dentist. No one wants to be operated on by a surgeon who has been on a 12-hour shift and who is tired, unwell, and unmotivated. We should also have the same requirements when we choose a therapist, and when we choose to prioritize our psychological well-being and resilience. Metacognitive therapy is not the answer to all psychological disorders, but for disorders such as anxiety, depression, OCD, and PTSD, it is effective. And many people who do not necessarily have a mental disorder, but who spend too much time ruminating and worrying, will also benefit from this approach, because the awareness that we can control our own thought processes and learn to navigate our racing thoughts could alleviate many hours of unnecessary worrying. And last but not least, remember to think for yourself, because if you do not, others will end up doing so for you. And the question is whether it is better for you to be in control of your own thought processes and ultimately your own life, rather than allowing others to do so. That is why I always come back to Coco Chanel's quote, "The most courageous act is still to think for yourself aloud."